ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड एज कृष्णा इज द सोर्स ऑफ ऑल इनकार्नेशन टेक्स्ट पश्यन्तादुरूपं मदभ्रचक्षुषा सहस्रपादोरुभुजाननाद्भुतम् सहस्रमूर्धा श्रवणाक्षिनाशिकम् सहस्रमौलम्बरकुण्डलोल्लश पश्यन्तदोरूपं मदभ्रचक्षुषा सहस्रपादोरुभुजाननाद्भुतम् सहस्रमूर्धा श्रवणाक्षिनाशिकम् सहस्रमौलीयम्बरकुण्डलोल्लस पश्यन्तदोरूपं मदभ्रचक्षुषा सहस्रपादोरुभुजाननाद्भुतम् सहस्रमूर्धा श्रवणाक्षिनाशिकम् सहस्रमौलम्बरकुण्डलोल्लस Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purusha who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms and faces, all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes and noses. They're decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, with our present materialistic senses, we cannot perceive anything of the transcendental Lord. Our present senses are to be rectified by the process of devotional service, and then the Lord Himself becomes revealed to us. In the Bhagavad Gita it is confirmed that the transcendental Lord can be perceived only by pure devotional service. So it is confirmed in the Vedas that only devotional service can lead one to the side of the Lord, and that only devotional service can reveal Him. In the Brahma Samhita also it is said that the Lord is always visible to the devotees whose eyes have been anointed with the tinge of devotional service. So we have to take information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen him with perfect eyes smeared with devotional service. In the material world also, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. If that is the process for experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in the matter of transcendental. So only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the Absolute Truth and His different forms. He is formless to the neophytes, but He is in transcendental form to the expert servitor. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapadukamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapto Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pashyantado Rupam Adabhra Chakshusha Sahasrapado Bhujananadbhutam Sahasramurdha Shravanakshi Nashikam Sahasramouli Ambara Kundala Losat. The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purusha who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms and faces, all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. So the Lord's Mahavishnu form is being described here. This chapter is explaining from the beginning how the material creation actually began. The Lord first expanded Himself into His Purushavatar. The Purushavatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhodokshai Vishnu and Kshirodokshai Vishnu, these three incarnations of the Lord are meant for material creation. Krishna expands Himself into Mahavishnu and lies in the causal ocean, and as He breathes, each bubble, millions of bubbles, innumerable bubbles are generated from His breathing, because He is not only breathing from His nose and mouth, but he is also breathing from every pore of his body. And his body is unlimited, so there are unlimited pores in his body, and in this way we can see that there are unlimited universes. And those universes are floating in the causal ocean. And then he expands himself into Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And as Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he enters in the universe and fills up half of the universe with the sweat, a swedavari, the water generated from his own body. And then he lies on that ocean of Garbha Udaka, in the bed of Ananta Shesha. And from his navel comes out a lotus, and Brahma, the first created being in the universe, is situated on that lotus. So this is how the universal creation or material creation has been explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, the Mahavishnu's form has been described, that he has thousands of heads, thousands of hands, thousands of legs, and he has all his head also, his heads also have thousands of ears and mouths and nostrils, and they all are beautifully decorated. And in this respect, the expression adbhut has been used. That this form is wonderful. Generally, we cannot imagine how can one have thousands of heads and thousands of arms, thousands of legs. And that's why it has been described that this form is adbhut, it's wonderful. And they're beautifully decorated with all kinds of beautiful garlands and ornaments, earrings, and in his purport, Srila Prabhupada is reminding us that this form of the Lord cannot be perceived with our mundane eyes. With our mundane senses, the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be perceived. Aprakrita bostu nahi prakrita gochar. The aprakrita, the transcendental reality, cannot be perceived by mundane senses. With our material senses, we can only perceive material things, material objects. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Sriman Mahaprabhu Sakhi Brindaki Jai. With our material senses, we cannot possibly perceive the spiritual reality. So that is the first thing that we have to understand. Now, often people ask, have you seen God? The same question was asked to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And his response to that was, if I say either yes or no, will you understand? Because you do not know what it means to see the Lord. He has to be seen with purified senses. His transcendental form can be seen only with purified senses. And that has been repeatedly established in the scriptures. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita very clearly said that only through devotion one can see me. Bhakta mam abhijanati. Bhaktya means with devotion, through devotion. Mam, me, abhijanati. One can get to know me. So, here also, Prabhupada is pointing out, mentioning the same point, that only with pure devotion can the Supreme Personality of Godhead be seen. And what is the meaning of pure devotion? Pure devotion means love for the Lord. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Prem means love. Anjan. Anjan means the mascara, the salve for the eyes. Premanjana churita. When the eyes become anointed with love, bhakti vilochanena, then with the eyes that are filled with devotion, santas sadaiva ridayeshu vilokayanti, a devotee can see me in the core of his heart, ridayeshu vilokayanti. He sees him how? With his eyes anointed with love, with devotion. And sadaiva, all the time, constantly. A devotee sees the Lord all the time. In the core of his heart, Chaitanya Charitamrita also is mentioning in this respect, sthabar jangam dekhe, na dekhe tar murti, sarvatra sphuray tar ishta deva sphurti. Describing a pure devotee's perception, said that he is seeing the moving and non-moving objects. Sthabar means static objects, like trees and plants and other material objects. And jangam means moving, moving and non-moving things. In both, he sees his worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is how a devotee sees the Lord with his eyes anointed with love. It's not a matter of imagination. Imagination is actually an activity of mind. Mind also is matter. So with our material, with any material endeavor, we cannot enter into the transcendental realm. The only thing that can somehow touch that region is intelligence. With intelligence is the only faculty that we have with which we can somehow have a glimpse of the spiritual reality or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How? In this respect, there is one example. One scientist, a very famous scientist, since there is controversy about this statement or this incident, I don't want to mention his name, but you can consider any famous scientist, because what really matters is the subject matter, not the person. So this personality had a friend who was a philosopher. And this philosopher was an atheist. But the scientist believed in God. So this scientist used to often go for a long walk with his friend, and often they used to end up with this argument about the existence of God. The scientist, no matter how hard he tried to prove to his friend that God exists, God is there, the friend would not accept. So one day, this philosopher friend came to the laboratory of the scientist, and he saw the beautiful model of the solar system. Different planets are moving around the sun with the arrangements of gears and levers. And he was amazed to see this beautiful model of the solar system moving on its own in different velocity. So this philosopher asked the scientist friend, who made this? It's a beautiful model of the solar system. The scientist replied, no one made it. And he said, the friend said, how can it be possible? Somebody must have made it. You must have made it. He said, no, no one made it. It just appeared from nowhere. Just by chance. It was just an accidental appearance. And so this way the friend kept on insisting, the philosopher friend kept on insisting, please tell me who made it. You must have made it. Then finally, the scientist told him, look, when I point out to the night sky with the innumerable stars and planets, you don't want to accept. Rather, he said that, look, when I tell you that no one made this model, you don't want to accept it. But when I point out to the night sky with innumerable stars and planets maintaining such a beautiful order, and I try to tell you that there must be a creator behind that, you don't accept it. See what a fool you are. So in this way, with intelligence, we can understand, yes, there must be somebody who made everything, who is maintaining everything. So at least this much we can understand with our intelligence, that there must be somebody who has created everything and who is maintaining everything in such a beautiful way, in such an inconceivable way. Then, of course, if we want to have further informations about him, we must approach a qualified teacher. And that is the most important thing. A qualified teacher then explains about that personality who is the supreme creator, supreme maintainer, from the authoritative evidence and informations of the scriptures. This qualified teacher, a teacher doesn't just concoct some ideas and present it. A teacher follows a curriculum, a course, a book or books to teach certain subject. Similarly, the teachers who teach about the spiritual reality, who teaches about the transcendental nature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also follows some books, some bona fide scriptures. And on the authority of the scriptures, he teaches. And this authority has been established by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. At the beginning of creation, the Lord himself has given the information. As I mentioned, the first created being is Brahma, who appeared from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the beginning, Brahma also was in ignorance. He didn't know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead or transcendental reality. So this is again establishing the fact that in this material nature, everyone is born in ignorance. In the material nature, everyone, including even Brahma, is born in ignorance. Janmana jayate shudra. Or, om ajnana timirandhasya. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, in the deep darkness of ignorance. But then jnananjana shalakaya. The spiritual master, opens our darkened eyes with the transcendental knowledge. Gyan Anjana. So even Brahma was born in ignorance. And his condition was something like, he woke up in full consciousness. Brahma was not born like a little baby and then gradually he developed his consciousness by receiving informations from the external nature. Brahma's condition was like he all of a sudden he woke up at a very strange place and he completely blacked out. He completely forgot about his past.
He didn't know, he didn't have any information, he didn't have any awareness, any knowledge about his past, who he was, where he came from, and what he was supposed to do. Brahma didn't have any understanding. He just woke up and found himself at a strange place. And then, of course, he tried to figure out in various ways who he was. He first thought that if he climbed down, he found himself sitting on a lotus, and the lotus was in a vast ocean. And Brahma thought if he climbed down the stem of the lotus and reached the bottom, then he would figure out where he came from. And then he would understand who he was. And in this way, for 1,000 years, Brahma climbed down the stem of the lotus. And Prabhupada explained that Brahma came very close to the bottom. That means he came very close to the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But still he couldn't see him. So once again, although he came very close to the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because his eyes were not properly anointed with love or devotion, he was not able to see him. Then Brahma became afraid and he came up again onto the lotus, and then he started to wonder what to do now. By this external endeavor, I could not find out. I just came to a dead end and there's no way to go any further. And what to do now? At that time the Lord inspired him from within his heart. Through the sound that was created by the splashing of the waves of the Garbha ocean. The sounds of the Garbha ocean created the sound tapah. The waves of the Garbha ocean generated that sound tapaha, tapaha. And Brahma was inspired from within to meditate, to withdraw his senses and project his consciousness internally. And then, as a result of that meditation, the Lord took mercy upon him. When Brahma withdrew his senses and projected his senses internally, then he heard the flute of the Lord. And through playing his flute, the Lord gave him the Gayatri Mantra. And meditating on that mantra, Gayatri, the spiritual reality, the transcendental nature, became revealed to Brahma within his heart. Tene Brahmarhida Adi Kabaye Muihanti Jatsurayaha. Brahma was bewildered in the beginning. So this transcendental knowledge now bewilders everybody, including even Brahma. But then the Lord, by playing his flute, imparted the knowledge in the heart of Brahma, Brahma Rida. Ridai means heart, and Rida means in the heart, within the heart. In the heart of Brahma, transcendental knowledge was revealed by the mercy of the Lord. So this is another proof that this transcendental reality cannot be perceived by our external material senses, by our external endeavor through our material senses. Brahmarhida. And also during our Guru Puja, every day we sing that song describing Dibya Gyan Hride Prakashita. The transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. The transcendental knowledge, the knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His nature, is revealed in the heart by the mercy of the spiritual master. And Brahma received this knowledge by the mercy of his spiritual master, Krishna himself. Therefore, the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master, is Krishna. He imparted the knowledge unto Brahma.
And this knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma. And then Brahma then expressed it externally for our benefit in the form of the Vedas. Then Vedas also apparently deal with two aspects. One is the external material aspect of the Vedas, that is in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. And then when one realizes the futility of material endeavor or materialistic involvement, then one wants to get out of this material nature, and that is that aspect of the Vedas is Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. The involvement, how to become involved in the material nature, has been explained in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, and how to get out of the material nature has been explained in the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. But then finally, how to enter into the spiritual nature and situate ourselves in the spiritual nature is explained through the devotional service or Bhagavat aspect of the Vedas. There is one section that is dealing with Karmakanda and Gyanakanda. But both Karmakanda and Gyanakanda are the two sides of the same coin. To get involved in the material nature and to get out of the material nature is practically dealing with the same material nature. Therefore, these two aspects of the Vedas are not important. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has described that aspect of the Vedas, especially Karmakanda section, as Jamimang Pushpitang Bacha. The words of the Vedas, this aspect of the Vedas appear to be very flowery. How to enjoy this material nature. Perform these sacrifices, perform these austerities, and you will get this result. How to enjoy this material nature. But Chaitanya Charitamrita rejected both Karmakanda and Gyanakanda, saying, Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, kevali bishero bhanga. Chaitanya Charitamrita compared this Karmakanda section of the Vedas and Gyanakanda section of the Vedas as two pots of poison. Apparently it appears to be like nectar, but actually they are two pots of poison. Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, kevali bishero bhanga, omrito boliya jeba khai. One who drinks these two pots of poison, thinking it to be nectar. Kador nana joni bhraman kare, kadarja bhakkhan kare, tar janmo adhopate jaye. He simply transmigrates in different wombs, in different species of life, and he eats all kinds of garbage, unedible stuff. Kadarja bhakkhan kare, and tar janmo adhopate jaye. His life is doomed. But the real purpose of the Vedas is the informations about the transcendental reality and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the real purpose of the Vedas. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vidya. Krishna is saying, declaring in Bhagavad Gita himself, that in all the Vedas, I am alone to be known. The purpose of the Vedas is simply to reveal the identity of Krishna. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vidya. And how Krishna can be known? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochan. When the eyes become anointed with love, then only one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one takes to devotional service, when one develops his loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he doesn't become so eager to see the Lord.
He knows that he is there and he is happy just serving him, recognizing his identity as a servant of the Lord. Just as a good servant is not interested to just see the master. He is simply interested to render his service to the master and please the master in that way. And then the master appears in front of him. When the time comes, he says, okay. He appears to him and rewards him in a most wonderful way. So that is the position of a devotee. The first aspect of devotion is to recognize oneself as the servant of the Lord. Jiver swarup hai Krishner nitya das. The constitutional position of a living entity is that he is the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishner nitya das, eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is his identity. So when he recognizes his identity as the servant of the Lord, then he naturally wants to serve the Lord. And this service also is executed under the able guidance of a qualified servant of the Lord. And that's why a devotee becomes a servant of the servant. He doesn't become the servant of the Lord, but he becomes the servant of the servant of the Lord. Or the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And in this way it goes on. And he is simply happy to be in the association of the servants of the Lord, where he gets enough information about the Lord and he gets enough opportunity, ample opportunity to serve the Lord. And he is happy just executing the service. Because trying to see the Lord is also another kind of sense gratification. Why you see the Lord? What difference does it make? If we see Him, then what will be the benefit? If we don't have the service attitude, what's the point in just seeing Him? Like we can see, Arjuna was seeing Krishna and Duryodhana also was seeing Krishna. But how was Duryodhana seeing Krishna? Did he see him with Premanjana Churita? Therefore, although he saw him, he couldn't recognize him. He didn't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He saw him, Duryodhana saw him, as the biggest impediment on the path of his sense gratification. He saw him as his arch enemy. So what's the point in seeing the Lord without the eyes anointed with love? In the same way, we are seeing the deities. Every day we see the deities. But how do we see? Until and unless our eyes become anointed with love, Premanjana Churita, we won't see Radha Madhav in the deities. The deities will appear to be like just a stone statue. Yes, beautifully decorated. Beautifully dressed, beautifully decorated. But not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is not that with our eyes we will see Him. With our hearts filled with love for Him, that will enable us to see Him. He has manifested Himself. He is here. Very mercifully He has appeared and He is on the altar. He is allowing us to see Him, allowing us to serve Him. But the real perception will not take place until our hearts become filled with love for Him. And that is why the initial stage of devotion is sadhana bhakti, practice, sadhana. Yes, we are not able to see Him right from the beginning as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at least that faith is there, that He is Krishna. This deity is Krishna Himself. So let us practice the sadhana bhakti. coming to the Mangal Arati, attending Mangal Arati, chanting the holy name, participating in different temple activities, honoring Krishna Prasad, rendering service, with constant awareness that all that we are doing is for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, through practice, we will be able to perceive the Lord as He is. Rupa Goswami, in this respect, is saying in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that just like a child cannot walk right from the beginning of his life, but he practices, his parents teach him, or make him to walk. And as a result of that, gradually he stands on his feet and starts to walk. And not only he starts to walk, as he grows up, he starts to run, he starts to jump. So similarly, at the initial stage of our devotion, we may not be able to perceive the Lord as He is, but we can at least practice. And this practice is actually to fill our heart with love for the Lord. That practice is simply to love Him, not simply go through certain rituals, but develop our love for Him, and that is all that really matters. And the heart has the ability to love Krishna. Not only the ability to love Krishna, the purpose of the love that is in our heart is simply meant to be reposed to Krishna, reposed upon Krishna. Every heart is filled with love. Now, devotional service is teaching us how to repose that love, how to direct that love towards Krishna. And when we successfully do that by proper practice, then everything happens automatically. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. Gradually, it will happen. The beginning is Shraddha, adau Shraddha. Then gradually, from Shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nibritti. And in this way, gradually roti, attachment to the Lord will develop. And then there will be the experience of transcendental emotion for the Lord, bhava. And then ultimately it will take the shape of the fruit of devotional tree in the form of prema. It will happen, provided we practice the process under the guidance of a qualified teacher. And we found the qualified teacher. Srila Prabhupada came and he taught us the process, gave us the process, made all the arrangements for us to continue to practice the process successfully. He gave all his instructions in his books. He created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a platform where we can practice this process and protect our devotion in the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada has given everything, and now we simply have to take advantage of that. If we don't take proper advantage of that, then we will not succeed. And the success or failure will be judged at the final test at the time of death. That is the final test, when we have to sit for the test at the time of death. And if we developed proper attitude, if we considerably cleansed our hearts, purified our hearts, if we have considerably detached ourselves from material attachments and detached ourselves from the propensity for sense gratification, if we have considerably maintained or advanced in our spiritual life, then it will happen. At the time of death, we'll pass the exams. Just like a good student who has prepared throughout the year, when he sits for the exams, he passes the exams with a flying color. But one who goes to the school, but even in spite of going to the school, who doesn't study properly, what happens to him? Chorome poribe laje, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, that at the final time, at the final hour, at the time of death, you'll feel completely embarrassed. You'll become completely bewildered. Now what to do? I didn't prepare myself. I don't know how to face the test. So that test is very, very important. And that we have to remind ourselves all the time that we are here to face the test properly and pass the test. And if we can pass it properly, yes, we'll be transported to the spiritual sky. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, the chariot came for him from Vaikuntha, and Dhruva Maharaj prepared himself. He took bath, bade farewell to all the saintly personalities in Badarik Ashram, and just he was about to climb the chariot, he saw death personified, was standing there with folded hands, begging him to bestow his mercy upon him. And what did Dhruva Maharaj do? He used death's head as the step to climb onto the chariot. He put his foot on death's head, climbed onto the chariot. Yes, death will come. But how death will come to a devotee? With folded hands begging his mercy while he was going to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to teach us and prepare us to face that final test. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes? Okay. Huh? From, see, the body. Okay, yeah. So he is asked, the question is, did Dhruva Maharaj leave his body or went back with his self-same body? Well, in this respect, the explanation has been given that there are two types of material body, the gross body and the subtle body. Through the devotional, at the time of death, one leaves his gross body. But if he still has his subtle body, then the subtle body will carry him to his next destination. But what devotional service does, devotional service dissolves the subtle body. Through the devotional service, the subtle body consisting of mind, intelligence and false ego becomes spiritualized. Man mana bhavo mad bhakto. When with one's mind one constantly thinks of Krishna, the mind is transformed into spiritual. Tesham shatato yuktanam bhajatang pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. So when one becomes constantly engaged in devotional service, then his buddhi is transformed into also becomes spiritualized through buddhi yogam. And then jiver sarup hai Krishna nitya das. His false ego disappears when he becomes a servant of Krishna. So in this way, through devotional service, one actually becomes free from his subtle body, although dwelling in the gross body. So that state is called sarup siddhi. Or Jivan Mukta stage. So Swarup Siddhi, his Swarup is, he has been situated in his Swarup, but still dwelling in his gross apparently gross material body. And in this respect, Prabhupada is giving the example of fire and iron. When iron becomes red hot in contact with fire, is it iron or fire? It's fire. So in this way, a pure devotee's apparently gross body also becomes spiritualized. And that gross body he leaves at the time of death. But his real identity, the spiritual identity, is what really matters. With the spiritual body, he goes back to the spiritual sky when he becomes free from the bondage of the gross body. And that has been described as Bostu Siddhi, the perfection of his identity as he is. So here we have to understand that Dhruva Maharaj left his apparently gross body in order to go to the spiritual sky, because it was in his Swarup that he went back. Hare Krishna. Yes. It is not just a matter of just hearing, but it is one's state of existence that is situating him either in the material or in the spiritual platform, his consciousness. As long as he is affected by the modes of material nature, as long as he is subjected to the modes of material nature, his hearing and chanting also will take place in that mode. But preferably, in order to become properly situated in the devotional platform, one must transcend the mode of passion and ignorance. Tada rajastamo bhava kamo lobho dayashchati cheto etoir anabiddham sthitam satya prasivati. So when the consciousness cheta etoir anabiddham is not at all affected by rajo and tamo bhava, then he is situated in sitam satya prasivat. And that state of consciousness has been described as evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. At that time he becomes completely peaceful. Evam prasanna manaso, at that time he becomes prasanna manaso, becomes completely satisfied internally. And due to the performance of Bhagavad Bhakti Yogata, being involved in devotional service of Krishna consciousness, he transcends the material platform. So, to go back to your original point, like, then what is the nirgun hearing? The nirgun hearing will be, actually means the hearing in the transcendental platform. Now, hearing in the transcendental platform would mean that from the name, Krishna's form will become manifest. Krishna's qualities will become manifest. Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela, Porikar. So, along with his form, his qualities, guna, will become manifest. Along with that, his associates will become manifest. Along with that, his entire abode will become, the whole spiritual sky will become manifest. So in pure chanting, would transport us to the spiritual sky. That is the nirgun hearing. Okay, I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.